Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
KGORadio.com, a Cumulus station.
Death penalty pushback and bombing trial. I'm Tom Graham. The death penalty could be harder to carry out. This after a pharmacist group voted to discourage providing the drugs used in executions.
The declaration approved by American Pharmacist Association delegates at their annual meeting in San Diego say the practice of providing lethal injection drugs is contrary to the role of pharmacists as healthcare providers. So on Monday, the panel adopted a policy that discourages members from providing drugs for lethal injections.
Correspondent Mark Chase there. Utah recently approved bringing back firing squads. The prosecution rested Monday in the Boston Marathon bombing trial. The defense will now argue that Johar Tsarnaev should not be put to death. Jon Stewart's replacement to host The Daily Show has been named. South African comedian Trevor Noah will take over. He appeared on the show before, joking about the police shooting of Michael Brown.
I never thought I'd be more afraid of police in America than in South Africa.
Noah, the son of a black mother, often uses race and ethnicity as part of his comedy. I'm Tom Graham. Pressure continues to mount against an Indiana law. Correspondent Miguel Marquez says the measure could allow a business to refuse service to a gay person.
Protest and anger across Indiana. Gays, lesbians, and their supporters rallying in opposition to SB 101, the so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
I have two kids that could possibly not be served because somebody doesn't believe in me being married to another woman.
Supporters say businesses will no longer be forced to support same-sex marriage.
It's Tuesday in Switzerland. That's the deadline for Iran to come to a nuclear deal with the U.S. and other world leaders. State Department spokesperson Marie Harf.
We have put proposals on the table that meet our bottom lines of getting Iran to a year breakout and cutting off their four pathways for nuclear material for a weapon. But we don't know if they can say yes to that.
Iran is seeking to have sanctions lifted. U.S. expected a pledge that it will cut greenhouse gas emissions by as much as 28%, part of a U.N. treaty. I'm Tom Graham.
Geico.
Irish eyes will be smiling when you join other KGO listeners on a 12-day Best of Ireland tour with YMT Vacations. Fly to Dublin on July 16th. Tour the city and see St. Patrick's Cathedral. Visit Waterford, the Blarney Castle, Killarney, and drive the famous Ring of Kerry. Explore Galway, travel through the Connemara region, and spend two nights in Belfast. From the castles to the Irish music and pubs, you'll get a true taste of Ireland. Call 888-503-4615 for more information. From only $29.19 plus tax, price includes hotels, airfare from San Francisco International, Irish driver guide, 10 breakfasts and 6 dinners, sightseeing and more. Call 888-503-4615 to join other KGO listeners on a tour of the Emerald Isle. Space is limited, so call 888-503-4615 to make your reservations. Call now, before space is gone.
Features four College of Basketball's most respected programs, and along with them, four of its most respected coaches.
Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski is coaching his 12th Final Four this weekend, matching UCLA's John Wooden for most all time, and in a conference call with reporters on Monday, talked about his matchup on Saturday with his good friend, Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo.
Tom is as good as there is, and not just a coach, but a great guy. Nothing surprises me that he and his program would do.
Izzo is in his 7th Final Four in the last 15 years and talked about being the underdog number 7 seed this time around.
We've been a little bit more of the surprise team, I guess.
Michigan State and Duke tip off shortly after 6 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday night. I'm John Stolness.
Former current college students calling themselves the Corinthian 100 say they're on a debt strike. They're refusing to pay back their student loans. On Wall Street, stocks finished sharply higher to start the week. I'm Tom Graham.
Know what's always on my mind, kid? Safety. I live, eat, and breathe safety. When I wake up in the morning, I have a large cup of safety with two sugars and a dash of safety. Safety matters. Your safety, my safety, everybody's safety. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products, services, and resources to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. Now pass me one of those safety donuts over there. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger. for the ones who get it done.
Today, Geico's stuff found in your car takes us under your passenger seat.
Hello, darling. Remember me? That earring you lost? I thought we were close, but then it took 15 minutes to notice I was missing in this ghastly carpeting. That's 15 minutes you could have used to switch your car insurance to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars. Money you could use for new earrings. And wouldn't that be nice? For you.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today.
KGO Radio News Time is 11:05. Good evening, I'm James Stanley. Here's a look at news from across the Bay Area and the state. San Francisco Police Chief Greg Suhr says that he anticipates an internal investigation into police officers who allegedly exchanged offensive text messages expressing racist and homophobic views will be completed by the end of the week, resulting in individuals being recommended to the San Francisco Police Commission for termination, while others will receive suspensions. Police say a UC Berkeley soccer player who disappeared after a weekend party was killed by a car when he was on foot on an L.A. freeway. Police have confirmed the death of 19-year-old freshman Eloy Vasquez. Vasquez was killed early Saturday near the University of Southern California, but the coroner couldn't immediately identify the body. Police had begun investigating his disappearance. Checking KGO traffic, no crashes to report. We do have some road work out, though. Left lane shut down on northbound 101 around 280 in San Francisco. KGO weather, 53 overnight, 67 or so for a daytime high. Right now it's 53 in Oakland and in San Jose, 56 in San Francisco. I'm James Stanley, KGO 810.
Taking you through the third shift, this is the John Batchelor Show on KGO 810.
Good evening, I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. My professionals join. John Fund of the National Review Online, David Drucker of the Washington Examiner, and Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host at WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes, a recovering politician who is the author of Liberty Risen about libertarian Republicans. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. We begin with a lovely piece that John Fund published in the National Review Online in a tribute to his father, who's passed away at 87. John, your father is a Korean War veteran, and you had an opportunity to visit Korea before he left you. Did he comment?
Yes. He had not been to Korea since 1953 when the armistice began, and I sort of was visiting Korea for the first time as a proxy for him, and we talked on the phone before his passing from Korea. And I told him, you would be amazed and impressed at what your sacrifice and the sacrifice of all of your compatriots in the armed forces have created. This is a vibrant free market democracy, 50 million people. They dominate car making in Asia. They sell almost all of our smartphones that aren't made in China. And what an impressive demonstration of the good that America can do in the world when it stands up for freedom and people's independence.
Thank you, John. And we begin with foreign policy tonight, and we're going to turn to it because the centerpiece of everyone's concern right now is the Iran negotiations in Switzerland over the suspect secret nuclear weapons program. That is the challenge of the 21st century. The jihadists of the Sunni jihadists of Mesopotamia and the Twelvers, the Islamists of Tehran. Both actors are predators in the region, but they're also capable of, with weapons of mass destruction, being predators to Europe and our ally Israel. I turn to David Drucker, and before we mention foreign policy, I want to review all of the Republican candidates. Mrs. Clinton is a foreign policy candidate, and so each of the Republicans must be measured on the basis of how he or she is going to do on the stage on these foreign policy matters. David, you have a lovely piece up about how Jeb Bush, though he is a man of senior middle age, I welcome him into the 60s club, he has put together a digital operation that is comparable to Mr. Obama's. How do they pitch it, David?
Well, what Jeb Bush is trying to put together is essentially his own voter database and his own way of sort of manipulating and analyzing the data. And it's, I think it's something that we can expect most of the presidential campaigns that are serious to get around to doing. Even Ted Cruz's campaign, sort of leaner such as it is using data analytics to figure out the best way to raise money and connect with people on social media. So this is something that the Bush campaign, with its vast and strong organization and solid fundraising, I think probably be able to invest in as much or more than any of the Republican campaigns. And what they want to do is have their own data to rely on and not have to worry about sharing it if they don't want to with others. But it puts them in a position to spread the wealth around if they want and to be more prepared to hit the ground running if he wins the nomination.
Let's turn to hit the ground running, foreign policy. That is, first of all, do you regard this upcoming election as a foreign policy election? I make that note just because Mr. Obama's emphasizing the Iran deal and Mrs. Clinton, former Secretary of State, is associated with initiatives during and after the Arab Spring. So how do you regard the upcoming election, foreign or domestic, Thaddeus?
I think as John Fund has drilled into our heads, it'll be domestic, that absent any cataclysmic event, foreign policy will play a subordinate role, although it will be an accentuated subordinate role because of events such as the potential Iran deal.
Let's turn to that then. Mr. Fund, of the Republican candidates we've looked at so far, and you can range the field, who is best equipped and are they all equipped to get on the debate stage and talk about the Iran deal or whatever it is in 5 months' time, or the threats of collapse in the Middle East, Yemen, the most recent example, but hardly the past?
Well, on one extreme, you have someone who's very qualified to speak on this issue, which would be former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton, who certainly knows the Iran issue. On the other hand, he's made the bellicose statement that we may have to send troops and actually fight Iran and destroy their nuclear weapons capability. I think that may be a little premature in electoral terms. People want to see all the diplomacy and the sanctions play out as much as possible. On the other side of the extreme, you have some governors who, frankly, have very little foreign policy experience, so they're treading water on this. In the middle, you have a bunch of senators, some of whom serve on the Foreign Relations Committee and can speak with authority. Marco Rubio was in New York tonight speaking with great authority about how the Iran negotiations had been mishandled. But all of them are united in the fact that none of them trust Obama to cut a deal that preserves American interests.
David, who are the best foreign policy candidates? Presuming I understand that domestic policy, the pocketbook, always takes hold, but in the debates that we're going to see starting in August, the Republicans will have much defense about, especially given that Mrs. Clinton's so dominant on the other side.
Right, so it's really interesting because if you look at the field, you have a lot of people that are articulate and can talk about a lot of issues. Foreign policy is a particular specialty that only a few have, and not all of them may end up going very far, but some might. I think first and foremost, you look at Marco Rubio, who's just more fluent on the issue of foreign policy in the Middle East, in Eastern Europe, in Asia than probably any other candidate, and it's helped make up for the fact that he's a first-term senator in his mid-40s, and Republicans aren't sure how they feel about doing that whole thing again, but he's muscled his way into the top tier of the field because he's a strong hawk who knows what he's talking about. Then you look at somebody like Rick Perry, who's still an afterthought, but if you listen to him talk about foreign policy now, especially versus 3 years ago, the guy is somewhat of an expert. He spent a couple of years studying and traveling, and he now has a lot to say about something that is very near and dear to most Republicans that I talk to, whether they're activists or big establishment donors or what have you. Then you've got some people around the edges that keep sounding like they might be able to get it done, but we're not sure yet. Ted Cruz is one of them. Scott Walker is another who seems to have the leadership down, gambit down properly, but has been working on the substance. He might be getting there. Cruz goes back and forth between Rand Paul's libertarianism and Marco Rubio's hawkishness, but I think he's getting more towards the hawkish side. So you've got that range. I think the important thing here, John, is that the president's Iran deal has united every Republican running for president, just about, with every Republican in Congress. That is a feat that I didn't know anybody could do.
Thaddeus, I'll include the breakdown in conversation between the White House and Jerusalem in these last weeks. Who in the Republican field, in your measure, one or two or three or just one, will do best when commenting about the failure of the Obama administration in foreign policy and the questions about Mrs. Clinton's service at state?
Well, I think David covered it pretty well, and I think Mr. Fund will be able to echo and chime in on this, but obviously Marco Rubio cares about foreign affairs greatly. He's clearly someone who is not studying this simply to run for president. It's something he's lived and breathed for quite some time. I think that the question that I would have for both of your guests is, where does Jeb Bush fit in with this? You would assume that there would be a fluency. You would assume that there would be a gravitas on foreign affairs given the family pedigree. How do you see him stacking up in this?
Mr. Fund?
Being very cautious. Bush knows he's the front runner. He knows that everything he says is examined with great scrutiny. So I think he's putting back a little bit. He wants to actually see the outlines of a potential deal. He wants to consult with Republicans in Congress. So he is not leading rhetorically. He is studying the issue. And as a front runner, probably a smart strategy.
David?
Yes, you read my mind because I shouldn't have left him out. He has talked probably next to Marco Rubio with the most fluency and really sounds like a traditional Republican hawk. I agree with John that he's being a little bit cautious, but not too much so. There was an interview he gave today on another radio program speaking very forcefully about the U.S. and NATO as it related to the Baltics and what Vladimir Putin might have plans for out there. So I think you look at Jeb Bush. Doesn't seem to be too afraid of his brother's legacy, but it does, give him a little bit of pause.
My professionals, David Drucker of the Washington Examiner, John Fund of the National Review Online, Thaddeus McCotter, WJR, the author of Liberty Risen. When we come back, it is impossible to imagine anyone but Hillary Clinton being the nominee for the Democratic Party for the 2016 election. However, there are voices in the Democratic Party who think it's unwise and unhealthy to go with one choice from pillar to post. Who are the challengers, and what is to be learned by these discordant voices in the Democratic Party? I'm John Batchelor.
Keeping you informed and up to date with news from around the Bay and around the world. KGO 810.
Racing legend Richard Petty for Blue Emu.
Maintenance is important. To help me keep feeling my best, I use odor-free Blue Emu made with real emu oil. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray has an active ingredient to relieve the aches and pains of my muscles and joints, and it's perfect for hard-to-reach places. Hey, even us precision machines need a little help sometimes. Use what I use, Blue Emu. It works fast, and you won't stink.
Blue Emu, available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states and MLS number 3030.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Why settle for the off-the-shelf windows from the big box stores that you have to install yourself?
15 years ago, Bill and Kathleen started American Vision Windows and Solar to give great customer service. 15 years later, and they've become California's number one window replacement company.
Off-the-shelf windows don't look much better than the ones you already have.
That's why Bill and I are so happy that American Vision is offering the Del Mar Collection by Anlin. It's our most beautiful window and is now available in 9 different colors. So call us and let American Vision install them for free.
Transform the look and feel of your home while getting unmatched customer service, free expert installation, and a lifetime warranty.
Revolutionizing the home improvement industry one customer at a time. American Vision Windows.
American Vision Windows, celebrating their 15th anniversary, and there's no better time to get brand new, energy efficient, beautiful windows from the number one window replacement company in California. Call now for a free upgrade to the Del Mar package. Call 888-475-6464. That's 888-475-6464.
CSLB number 778-326.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy and free.
You're listening to The John Batchelor Show on KGO 810.
Enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
The voice of the Bay Area, Ron Owens, weekdays at 9 on KGO 810.
I'm John Batchelor. My professionals, John Fund of the National Review Online, David Drucker of Washington Examiner, Thaddeus McCotter of WJR. Gentlemen, Mrs. Clinton is the prohibitive favorite to be the nominee for the Democratic Party in 2016, and we could follow through. All the polls show her doing very well against the Republican field, but it's early yet. Yes, it's not early for the Democratic Party. So, David, I'll begin with you. Governor O'Malley, who represents the progressive part of the Democratic Party, is indicating from his remarks that he's going to make a candidacy for the presidency. And I believe former Senator Webb is also looking. Jim Webb is looking to be a candidate. How will these serve on the stage with Mrs. Clinton, the three of them, maybe Bernie Sanders, but the three of them? Will they help the Democratic Party by making it look like a contest, or will they in some fashion inhibit her?
Well, only if they make it a contest. Otherwise, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit like Al Gore and Senator Bradley, which was, well, I guess there's a primary, but I mean, come on, not really. O'Malley's interesting because he is running at her, or appears to be signaling that he's going to run at her from the left. And look, if anybody's going to beat Hillary Clinton with any chops, if they choose to run, you beat her by running at her from the left, or at least that's how you really make her sweat. Jim Webb is more of a populist, but from a foreign policy, a national security standpoint, would come at her really not from the left, but the middle, I guess. So I'm just not sure that there's much to see here. You're going to have, I guess, having others on the debate stage with her, but Sanders, O'Malley, and Webb, it gives her people to talk to and talk at. It makes it seem more legitimate, but it's not really a race.
John, Mr. O'Malley is well-spoken. Jim Webb is extremely well-spoken and a veteran. Good heavens, he's an Annapolis graduate. He's served, I think, every job there is in Washington. And on the stage with either Mr. Webb or Mr. O'Malley, those are accomplished legislators and governors. They've worked very carefully in the Democratic Party. Is Mrs. Clinton well suited to have them on the stage with her?
These are legitimate candidates. They're obviously recognize the tough odds against them, but they're waiting for one of two things to happen. Mrs. Clinton to bomb with voters, as she bombed with some constituencies in 2008 against Obama when she was also the prohibitive favorite, or two, more scandals to emerge, because with Clinton's in politics, you never know what's around the corner. And we didn't see the email scandal coming. There could be others.
That is, how do you measure this, being on the stage with two other candidates who are so the odds against them are very heavy? That it looks like a risk to Mrs. Clinton. Is there an advantage to O'Malley and Webb, or do they mark themselves as mavericks or people to be done away with after the election?
Well, I think the latter, given the track record of the Clintons and their political opponents. I think for the Democratic Party, it becomes kind of interesting if you have two men and Ms. Clinton on the stage. It becomes the Democratic Party's war on woman. Right. Now, she could very easily lose her temper. She could look rather peeved at having to go through the motions, as David and John have both pointed out. Absent any superseding event of scandal or anything else, I don't see that she will be denied the nomination of her party.
David, Mrs. Clinton did very well in the 08 debates, is my memory. Mr. Obama, though, was the rock star, was the star of the stage because of his smooth conversation. I don't remember her being troubled by any of the other candidates. She had the eventual vice president up there, I think, Mr. Dodd. I don't remember the full field. What's your memory of how she performed in about six or seven candidates up there?
Look, I think that she performed just fine. And look, on the debate stage, Obama at the time wasn't, a font of rhetorical, flourishes. I think, what 2008 was about was the fact that the Democratic Party wanted to make a change, and they could go with Obama, this very gifted new age politician, and still make history. So you didn't vote for the first woman, but you voted for the first African-American. But he really inspired people and sort of brought back the old liberal energy of the Democratic Party. And, that was something that she just couldn't compete with. Nobody else even came close, though, to the two of them. And that primary extended, pretty deep into the spring, at least by campaign standards. It was a pretty big deal. So, I think this time around the issue is if you're going to take out Clinton, she's beatable, but you have to run somebody against her with a constituency or that has the ability to build a constituency the way Obama did. And right now, I just don't see any of the people mentioned, running other than Elizabeth Warren, who will not run, apparently, that they can do it.
All right, I want to switch just a moment because we have a couple minutes, gentlemen. Harry Reid served his party extremely well for a number of years, and I regret that his departure follows that injury that's very badly damaged to his eye. I think that the party is now moving towards Chuck Schumer. Do you think that is a strength for the Democrats to go to a man who's identified so completely with New York and with the Finance Committee? Chuck Schumer's a power in this city, but how would he play it for the rest of the Democratic Party, John?
Most Americans don't know who the Democratic leader of the Senate is, especially in the early years. Chuck Schumer at least can speak politely to Republicans, something that Harry Reid probably found difficult. Chuck Schumer is extremely ambitious, but he also wants to get things done, and he has cut deals across the aisle. So in terms of putting a better, more reasonable face in front of the public, Democrats are going to benefit from having the snapping, snarling Harry Reid fade away. And Chuck Schumer, as outrageous as he is, he knows how to pretend to smile.
Thaddeus, is this an improvement for the Democrats going into the fact that they're probably going to remain in minority for many years? We have about 30 seconds, Thaddeus.
I think it's a necessary change at this point, and I think Mr. Schumer is a very, very adroit and capable politician, but how he will play with the national electorate remains to be seen.
David, your comment on Harry Reid. I didn't know anything more than the fact that the man liked to fight, and I admired him for that.
Yeah, look, a lot of people, if they paid attention to Harry Reid, they thought, this guy can't talk. He puts his foot in his mouth. He's a total jerk. He was a very shrewd, smart political tactician. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had the loyalty and unification of his conference behind him. He was a very strong leader. You may not have liked what he did, but he knew what he was doing, and he was good at it.
David Drucker, John Fun, Thaddeus McCotter. I'm John Batchelor.
Get the IRS off your back now with one phone call. Talk to a live professional tax relief agent and stop worrying about your tax problems. Wall & Associates offers free face-to-face consultations. That's right, a free face-to-face consultation with a knowledgeable tax specialist. That's the Wall difference. It's easy. We solve tax problems. Call 800-773-5750. That's 800-773-5750. You always speak with a live person. If you owe the IRS, your tax problems will not go away. No other company can help you like Wall. Our average client settles for about 10% of their tax debt. Wall & Associates has settled thousands of cases for a small fraction of what was owed. You always speak with a live person. Call now for a free face-to-face consultation, not a solicitation for legal services. Call 800-773-5750. That's 800-773-5750. 800-773-5750.
Breaking news as it happens. Twitter, text alerts, Facebook, and anytime on the Bay Area's news station, KGO 810.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Panagiotakos, the hair doc. I've specialized in hair loss for over 40 years. For a limited time, I'm offering 10% off on hair transplants, up to $1,000 in savings. Meet one of my happy patients, Jim Yuen.
I used to hate looking in mirrors until the hair doc gave me hair I hadn't had in 50 years. You can see my photos at hairdoc.com.
For a free consultation, see Dr. Panagiotakos at 2001 Union Street. Call 922-3344 or visit hairdoc.com.
Dr. Panagiotakos is Diamond Certified.
How can we make you happy? Well, at DGDG.com, one of the things we do is provide you with some of the most highly trained product specialists in America. Non-commissioned product specialists who have a passion for cars and take great pride in their expertise. Car enthusiasts that can help you find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget. So, how can we make you happy? We'll find out more at DGDG.com. That's DGDG.com.
I'm Chris Bjorklund with your Diamond Certified Report. If you're getting a price quote by the square foot for a carpet cleaning job, make sure you're not paying for areas underneath beds, armoires, and dressers. Charlene Locke with Sequoia Cleaning and Restoration, a Diamond Certified company, says it's an old trick.
Are you being charged for that whole room, square footage of that whole room, when they're only doing a fraction of it? Or are you only being charged for the square footage that's actually cleaned?
And for more expert advice and high-quality performance, use a Diamond Certified company. Each is scored highest in quality and the most accurate ratings anywhere. You'll never be fooled by fake reviews, since all research is performed by live telephone interviews that verify only real customers are surveyed. If you want quality, you'll have confidence in choosing Diamond Certified companies. Find them at DiamondCertified.org.
Is your retirement portfolio actually structured to provide an income stream? Enough income that you can really count on. Hi, I'm financial advisor Pat Vitucci. And as you think about retirement, your goals may have changed. Now you need to protect and grow your nest egg. I can help you get on the right track for retirement. If you're not working full-time now or sometime soon, you need to make sure your income stream will be enough to carry you through your entire lifetime. I've lived in the Bay Area for most of my life, and we have many offices. I'm sure one near you. Call for a complimentary portfolio review. Pat Vitucci, Vitucci & Associates, 800-472-8305, or check don'tinvestandforget.com. Pat Vitucci, 800-472-8305. Or don'tinvestandforget.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through NPC, member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Vitucci & Associates Insurance Services and NPC are separate and unrelated.
Hear the news on KGO, then listen to John Batchelor to make sense of it all on KGO 810.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. My colleague and co-host, Thaddeus McCotter, WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes. And we welcome our colleague, Malcolm Hoenlein, of the Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, who in these last hours has been around the world many times in news reports of Malcolm's conversation with the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, now a presumed candidate for the presidency of the United States, Malcolm, a very good evening to you. Your conversation with Mrs. Clinton is characterized to focus on the relationship between Washington, between the United States and Israel, and that it would continue healthy. Does that mean that the situation right now is improving, that we're seeing a better tone from Washington, and we can anticipate that Mrs. Clinton's campaign will have a better tone about the alliance? Good evening to you, Malcolm.
Good evening to you, and to Thaddeus. Well, first of all, there have been a number of steps that have been taken. A group of Democratic congressmen warned the administration about the impact of the deterioration in the relationship and the consistent harping and feeling that this was unending, that they... And the administration said that today that they believe they got their message across to Netanyahu, and therefore the implication is that they will step back. But a group of senators, also four, two Republicans and two Democratic leaders, sent a message that they should stop threatening, especially about the United Nations, to bypass the usual the direct negotiations and not exercise the veto as they have in the past if there is a resolution that would appear to impose upon a peace process, not have direct negotiations. So there is a general climate developing that this has gone on too far and too long, and I think Secretary Clinton's remarks reflected that as well, that it's time to get back, as she said, to basic shared concerns and interests. And she included a two-state solution pursued through direct negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians. And most of all, when she said, we have to ensure that this not become a partisan issue. And I think that's a concern that many Democrats feel and have been expressing fairly consistently and even publicly. I don't think that the Secretary meant this against the administration as much as she was trying to assert that it's time to recognize we have a unique ally, a new special relationship with it, with that ally, and that we had better put things on a back to the previous footing and away from some of the rancor of the recent weeks.
Thaddeus?
Malcolm, that's true. One of the things about Congress that was actually enjoyable was the strong bipartisan agreement regarding the United States' relationship with our ally Israel. And when you see this, do such bipartisan attempts as you've described actually underscore the strength of that mutual respect from both parties and show that this really is kind of an administration issue, not a Republican-Democrat partisan issue?
Well, I think that that is one of the messages that is being sent, but it shouldn't be an administration issue either. I mean, there's, you know, whatever differences occurred and all the remedial steps that have been taken, when we look at the region, you see all the overwhelming issues that should bring them together, and that it is essential that Israel and the United States work together. There are differences over the Iran negotiation, which are very serious and have been aggravated over the period and coming to somewhat of a head. But at the same time, the Human Rights Council, the United States voted against the usual spate of anti-Israel resolutions. And that is really more reflective of where the relationship should be, because those who want to hurt Israel want to hurt America. When Khamenei constantly yells, death to America, then he says death to Israel and death to the Jews. But it's America first, and the fate of both countries, the interests of both countries, are so intertwined that it's really imperative. I think that it gets interlocked with the Iran issue and the differences because of Netanyahu's speech at the Congress and his strong stand on this. But when the Senate votes 100-0 on Thursday for this amendment, which was non-binding, to the budget bill, which intended to make it easier to reimpose sanctions if there's a violation of the deal. But it's not the impact of the legislation, because it's minimal, but it's the message that it sends. When all 46 Senate Democrats vote for Kirk's amendment, Iran gets a message that even if it's not binding, it should be no surprise that the Senate is ready to move forcefully. And the administration now talks about coming up with some means of including Congress, even if not bringing it before them, but tries to forestall any legislation before the June 30th deadline.
Let's move to what we know of the negotiations. They're non-transparent, and that's a problem, Malcolm, because all we can do is guess. We are coming up what is said to be a deadline. We also do not at this point understand what's going to happen to a document if it exists afterwards. There's been speculation it'll go to the United Nations Security Council. There's also a report over the weekend that the administration is looking to consult with the Senate, whatever that means. Do we have a course, presuming there is a document, do we have a course of what happens next?
Well, there isn't a course now. There's a lot of speculation about what could take place. But if we're talking about a framework, and that framework and the content of it is not made public, I think you'll have a lot of resentment in Congress, which is already feeling that it is being bypassed. And the administration keeps repeating that they intend to bypass it. I understand they don't want to negotiate with the Senate. They want to negotiate with the Iranians. But you have to look at some of the sentiment that is being expressed when the former head of the CIA compares this regime, the Iranian regime, to the Nazis and is critical. And the former head of the DIA expresses himself in very strong terms about his concerns with the way we're going and the fact that Iran, we know, is constantly cheating, has always cheated. It goes back to the negotiations with Pyongyang. I know you made some reference earlier to the North Korea deals, but these go back to 92. And Rouhani was the aide to Rafsanjani when they negotiated these things and then lied about what was taking place. So and the tensions between the Iranians and the U.S., as we see in Yemen, but even in the accusation that Iran made that the U.S. had hit two IRGC soldiers near Tikrit on a day that the U.S. wasn't even active, but made public and try to whip this up. So the fundamental differences, the worldviews, the interests, would really pit us against Iran, and the idea that these negotiations are so limited in their focus and do not impact the regional differences and the real challenges that Iran poses beyond the nuclear program.
Thaddeus?
Malcolm, we've seen some types of trial balloons, I suppose, put out there saying that there are potential deal breakers that the United States would find unacceptable. Is that true? I mean, this administration seems bent on getting an agreement. If there are deal breakers, what would those be?
Well, we thought that one of the deal breakers was the shipment of the enriched uranium back to Russia, which we had always taken, or I certainly had believed and heard from a variety of people, that this was always a fundamental part of any agreement. But I'm told, and I was told today by an administration official, that there never was such an agreement. It's not that the Iranians pulled out, and the Russian foreign minister left today from Switzerland. Sergei Lavrov left, but he said he could come back tomorrow. But he left in a peak that the U.S. accepted, or seems to have given in, the P5 plus one gave in, to the Iranians' refusal to ship the enriched uranium to Russia, which is a loss of many, many millions of dollars to Russia. So, I can't say what is the red line that ultimately would break this deal. We thought also that the dismantling of Fordo, and now we're told they can keep some centrifuges, which is very dangerous because Fordo, is a reinforced place. It's underground. It's not like some of the other facilities. The access to it is much more limited. And they said, well, they won't be able to enrich uranium there. But the question is that once you keep the infrastructure in place, then you have the possibility that they can always switch back quickly to enriching uranium. And Ali Hynen himself has pointed out repeatedly now that he thinks the breakout time, and this is the former IAEA inspector, that Director General for the Safeguards at IAEA, that the breakout time now is 7 or 8 months. So I don't know anymore if there is a single issue or breaking point for Iranian noncompliance that would, in fact, cause us to back off of the negotiation.
What I'm hearing from you, Malcolm, is that there is no point that the administration has reached so far that can't be finessed. They're giving in on we see a talking point and then it disappears. We see another talking point and then it disappears. The talking point tonight, following the reporting in London, is that the Iranians want sanctions lifted immediately, and there's hesitation by the P5 plus one. But what you're telling me is that tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, the administration will go along with that.
Well, if you remember, we started with dismantlement, and now we're talking about containment. If you know, all of the earlier conditions, and now they're talking about a phased undoing of the six UN Security Council resolutions, and they were very explicit in their language about it. Some of the Iranian spokespeople, he said they have to be annulled. Araghchi, who was the senior negotiator for them, and a senior U.S. official then said, according to reports, that all sides agreed to a phased step-by-step approach, but the exact formula hasn't been found. But it seems that, you know, the Iranians put down hard markers, don't yield on them, and the P5 plus one are moving constantly closer to their position in order to get a deal. Whether there, and I'm sure there must be red lines that would just negate any.
I can't find what. Malcolm, does it come to the Senate? Do we know?
It won't come to the Senate for a clear vote. It may come that they will invite members of the Senate to be briefed. It could be that they will, introduce the framework. But the details, first of all, they may not even be done by then, and we may not. It's not that they're holding it back. It may be that they're actually not finished. But it doesn't appear that they will go for approval by the Senate.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. There's other trouble in the Middle East. When we come back, we have Yemen, lots of trouble in Yemen. We have the Palestinian matter, whether or not the United Nations will move again to in some way acknowledge the Palestinians as a separate state. Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host, WJR, the Great Voice of the Great Lakes. I'm John Batchelor.
Government, politics, and fiscal discombobulation. We're talking about it on the John Batchelor Show on KGO.
Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? When you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin. Powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
My golden retriever, Sundance, is a lot more playful now. She has more pep and energy than I've seen in years.
Tons of energy. Petey is having fun again. He's got a shiny coat and a good, healthy weight.
Molly's been having 4 scoops a day. She pushes her little bowl all the way across the room, emptying every last single crumb. She has slimmed down and gotten this puppy look.
She's got life. She's got energy. She's got stuff to give.
We get asked all the time when we're at shows, how do you get your dog so healthy and shiny and glossy?
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Family will be on Dynavite for the rest of his life.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
How strong is Allegra D?
It's my congestion's out of my way strong. Even in the park, playing with my dogs. Go fetch, Bosley.
Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant that starts relieving your toughest allergy symptoms in under 1 hour.
Allegra D is breathing free for 24 hours strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra D, strong relief for your allergy symptoms. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
You can join me for Avon 39, the walk to end breast cancer. 2 days and 39 miles. Sure, it's not easy, but that's what makes it worth it. Join my team and take the challenge. Avon 39, the walk to end breast cancer in San Francisco, July 11th and 12th. Register today at 39forbc.org.
My cigar-loving friends, that buzzing sensation you feel in your back pocket is your wallet talking to you. Because it knows that for a limited time and only when you order your favorite cigars from FamousSmoke.com, your wallet is going to get fat and happy with an instant 10% cash back on your next cigar purchase. All the best and highest rated brands are already on sale at LowFamousSmoke.com prices, like Monte Cristo, Cuba Cuba, Romeo, Partagas, and La Gloria, which makes this cashback offer the icing on the cake. So let's keep your wallet happy and your humidor full And if you need a new humidor, we can even help you there, too. It only takes one click to get your free money back. Go to FamousSmoke.com and click the Activate button to save when you order the cigars you love. Get 10% of your hard-earned cash back in your wallet. With your order of $75 or more today, you won't get a bigger return on your cigar dollar from anywhere else. Go to FamousSmoke.com and click the Activate button to order today. FamousSmoke.com. That's FamousSmoke.com.
If you have trouble getting a good night's sleep, you're not alone. In fact, most adults do for one reason or another. Hi, it's Nikki Medora.
And I'm Brett Burkhart. It doesn't matter if you have the best bed around, if you don't have the best pillow to go with it.
With a crazy work schedule and constant neck pain, a good night's sleep seemed impossible. But not anymore, thanks to MyPillow.
MyPillow doesn't get hot, it molds to your head, and doesn't go flat.
But don't just take our word for it. MyPillow was just selected as the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, the leading authority on sleep health.
That says a lot. Plus, MyPillow is made in the USA. It's machine washable and dryable and comes with a 10-year warranty.
And to celebrate MyPillow's 10th anniversary, it's offering its biggest discount ever.
Buy any MyPillow at the regular price, and you'll receive a second MyPillow absolutely free. Just click the 2-for-1 button at MyPillow.com.
And use discount code KGO at checkout to receive an unprecedented 50% off everything on MyPillow.com.
Do what we did, along with 5 million other people, and make MyPillow your pillow. Call 800-299-6893 or go to MyPillow.com.
And don't forget to enter KGO at checkout.
Now more of the John Batchelor Show on KGO 810. Helping you understand the new order in the 21st century, this is the John Batchelor Show on KGO 810.
Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-566-4017. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-566-4017. That's 800-566-4017.
I'm John Batchelor, Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host. We continue with Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Yemen. 26 million people, the collapse of Yemen in these last days, very swift, the fifth day of Saudi-led airstrikes against strategic targets in Yemen, including one reported attack of a refugee camp. The ports are closed, the airports are closed. However, what was significant over these last days is not another Arab Spring state tumbling into chaos and depredation, but what happened over the weekend in Cairo, an emergency meeting of the Arab League, a summit said to be organizing an Arab division or an Arab army, 40,000 people, 40,000 troops, armor, air power, even warships. Malcolm, in this gathering in Cairo, there was unanimity until President Sisi read out a letter of support from President Putin of Russia. At that point, Prince Faisal of Saudi Arabia, the foreign minister, spoke in rebuke of Mr. Putin, who is supporting Mr. Assad in Damascus. I realize this is Game of Thrones. Everybody follows along. Did you find that significant, Malcolm, that Sisi and Faisal are disputing Mr. Putin in public in front of the Arab League?
It's obviously significant, as you rightly point out, and I think it goes beyond just the conflict between the two, but the message to Russia at a time when Russia is signing deals with some of those countries like Egypt, like Jordan, $10 billion for reactors with Jordan, big weapon sales, $30 billion with Egypt or with other countries who are there, and has been trying to reestablish some presence. But there is a lot of anger at their role in Syria, and that is what the king responded to and did so with great anger, or actually the foreign minister, Prince Al-Faisal, in his comments, and he said he speaks about the problems in the Middle East as though Russia is not influencing these problems. And I think that coming right after the letter was read out by President Sisi, which is a rare move at an Arab League meeting, I think reflects the mixed feelings about Russia's role, and it certainly was somewhat awkward for Egypt as the host country, because it depends on the one hand on Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf allies, but also has tried to improve its ties with Russia. So this is certainly Mr. Putin couldn't have been happy about it, and it reflects the tensions today in the region, how deep they go.
Thaddeus.
Malcolm, we know that with the United States and the Obama administration seeming to be withdrawing from the Middle East in terms of its interests and influence, we know that the Iranians are trying to fill much of that vacuum and other bad actors, but the Russians have also been trying to fill that vacuum as well, haven't they? To what extent have they been successful? Obviously, this latest incident shows that they are making some type of progress there.
Well, they have made some inroads, certainly protecting Assad, which they considered a primary interest, especially because the base at Latakia is their most forward base. And they have always said that that removal of him it would be a mistake. But I think that, and they have played a secondary role in the negotiations where they have mixed interests as they build nuclear reactors for Iran and have contracted for 13 more like Bushehr. So, you know, there's very little to offer because they don't have the resources, Russia, to really make a big difference. But he can sell things, and he can certainly sell weapons, something he's anxious to do. And this has to pinch him a little bit, you know, in his hope to be able to broaden the market for his weapon sales. But more than that, you look at the entire region, and you see that Russia's role is somewhat marginal today.
Mahmoud Abbas, 77 years old, elected sometime 10 years ago or more, making remarks that look farcical, Malcolm. The Arab League with its army marched first on Ramallah and then Sana'a. Is he laughed at?
Well, he turned 80, by the way, this week, and he's in the 10th year of his term, which ended 5 years ago. And there's more and more resentment about that. But he made an interesting comment, as you noted, at the summit meeting. He urged the same policy in terms of the airstrikes in Yemen to be used by the Arab League in Palestine, Syria, Libya, and Iraq against countries suffering from internal conflict, which means that it wasn't against Israel he was calling for the strikes, but against Hamas in Gaza. And he... And what made it all the more pointed is that his advisor 2 days earlier, his minister on religious and Islamic affairs, made almost identical remark and talked about striking Hamas with an iron fist. So he took advantage of this platform. But we're seeing more dissent within the country. There was at one of the big refugee camps at an election for the head of a sports club, and Abbas's son ran, and he was soundly defeated, and they had a march in the street saying, "We defeated Abbas today," that this was really a repudiation of him. And you see the strength of some of his comments, even against Dahlan, who was sentenced to 2 years in absentia for defamation. And he even had the employees of Fayyad, the former prime minister, questioned in the last days to intimidate them. So he may be feeling the heat as well. About his future.
Thaddeus, we just have a minute. Go ahead.
I enjoyed that, Malcolm. He's in the 10th year of a 5-year term. But what happens after Abbas?
That's the million-dollar question, and that's why I mentioned about Dahlan and Fayyad, that he's trying to stave off any of those who have been discussed as potential successors. Dahlan is a strong man in Gaza, and you know, he has done nothing in terms of moving into Gaza, so he has lost the supported people there. You hear the unrest in the West Bank. Egypt uncovered a 2.8-kilometer tunnel now going into Gaza. The activities of Islamic Jihad and others, and they said, "We will fight Egypt like we fight the Israeli occupation." So the tensions, between them, between Egypt and Gaza, and that Hamas's, Abbas's role is becoming more and more challenged within the circles of support that he wants or needs. So it's a very, very iffy situation.
Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Thaddeus McCotter, WJR, the author of Liberty Risen. I'm John Batchelor.
government, politics, and fiscal discombobulation. We're talking about it on The John Batchelor Show on KGO 810.
At Shane Company, we're constantly introducing innovative styles of bridal and fashion jewelry. When my designer showed me the sketches of our latest halo engagement rings, I knew we were onto something big. We named this collection Eternally Yours. You can choose the round halo style to go with the round diamond of your choice, or choose one of the collection's non-traditional halo shapes for a princess-cut diamond, cushion-cut, pear-shaped marquee, emerald-cut, or oval diamond. We designed each Eternally Yours ring so the light hits the center diamond from every angle, creating spectacular fire and brilliance. Before you buy an engagement ring, come see Shane Company's exclusive Eternally Yours collection.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, Shane Company, in Cupertino, San Mateo, and Walnut Creek. Open weekdays till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, online at shaneco.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.